Okay. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And your pastor sent me a note and said, thanks for the decades that you've been... And I thought, decades? And so I sort of had to think about it. But it's been a while that I have been coming and you put up with me, so I appreciate the opportunity. Tonight, we are going to have a look at prayer. And it's not looking at prayer itself. It's looking at our attitudes. It's looking at our preparation. And it's looking, I guess, at the condition that we are in. Because our attitude to prayer is really a spiritual condition. And there's a scripture that's in a couple of Gospels that says... Got to get it now. That where your treasure is where your heart is. And that quickly can sort out when we pray where we are. So if we have a think about our prayer life and we think about what we pray about, if it's a whole lot of gimmies, then maybe we need to think some more. But they're just some things that we're going to look at. But prayer has been, to do this particular message, has been a challenge to me. It's not that I don't pray, and I guess one of the advantages now is that I'm retired. And so you can see, gray hair, all the rest of it. But it gives me more time. But one of the things that I found when I was working was, to me, the best time to pray is first thing in the morning. And I do remember, so I'm not trying to boast, I'm just talking about reality, that to me it's important to get up every day, 7 days a week, and have a quiet time. It's important 7 days a week to pray. And so I had to go to Townsville one time for work, and I had to catch a plane early because I needed to get up there, I think, for at least about 11:30 was the earliest I could get there. So I got up at 3:30 in order that I could have my quiet time. And I think I left around 4 or whatever to get the airport. I don't know, forget. But I think we need to have that time where we as individuals have that as preeminent. That we want to spend time with the Lord Jesus. We want to spend time in His presence. Okay. One of the things that as I look at prayer and as I was looking at different things, and I read a lot. I like reading and I read a lot. And one of the things I read was Martin Lloyd-Jones. Now, some of you may or may not know him, but he was quite a prolific preacher and writer. And he said concerning prayer, of all the activities in which the Christian engages and which are part of the Christian life, there is surely none which causes so much perplexity and raises so many problems as the activity which we call prayer. And I guess we can think about, is God listening? Why should God care about me when I pray? If God knows everything, what's the point of praying? If He already knows the outcome, is there a point in praying? So the other thing is that if prayer stands as the place where God and human beings meet, then I believe I must learn to pray. And that's something we need to bear in mind. So this evening, I am aware, and I don't know each of you individually, some of you I know, but prayer is a struggle for a lot of people. There are many factors that I think affect our ability to pray. It's not something that we have to do. Prayer is something that is a privilege because we can then come before the throne of grace and we can come into the presence of our God. And that's a privilege. Our God desires that we would pray. And that's even worth thinking about as well, isn't it? That God desires that you would lift your heart in prayer to Him.
even if it's, I'm in trouble, Lord help me. Even if it's short, he desires to hear your prayer. Now, I know that your pastor preached on the Holy Spirit this morning, and he helps us with our prayer. But God desires our prayer, and our prayers to him are like incense to him. They're a fragrant incense. One of the things that I know about prayer when I do come to pray is that the moment my thoughts start to turn into prayer and the Holy Spirit is active and he is bringing my thoughts before our Heavenly Father as well, that as I start to pray, that God already knows and he springs into action already. There's a lot of things we don't think about, and I don't think about all the time either. I'm just looking at the clock. I want to be careful. And so our very first thing that I want us to have a look at comes from the reading tonight, which is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, therefore, do not be like them. So we were talking about the hypocrites. Here's the point I want to make. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In Isaiah 65 and verse 24. So Isaiah 65, 24. It tells me this, that God is going to answer my prayer before I even pray. It shall come to pass before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. And I guess this brings us to one of the first points, is individually, do we give much time to prayer? That's a real challenge for all of us. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for us individually. Do I give time to prayer? I went to London a couple of years ago with three of my four sons and my wife. And when we were in London, I just had to see Spurgeon's Tabernacle, which was not too far, and we walked past it. But Spurgeon, I think it was a Tuesday night, they used to have prayer meeting, midweek prayer meeting, even though it was Tuesday. I think there were 1,100 people to 1,300 people that regularly came to a prayer meeting. I think that one of the reasons that our churches are not as full as they could be is that maybe we don't pray as we should. We don't pray for souls. We don't pray for people to come into our church. Now, I'm using a broad brush here as I preach tonight because I don't know what you do. But I do know this, that we as a nation and as churches, evangelical churches, if we prayed, God is able to start things like incredible change. And so a fellow by the name of E.M. Bounds. Who's ever heard of E.M. Bounds? Okay. Bounds was a great prayer warrior. And Bounds was someone who was up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. Hudson Taylor, he is just a wonderful man. I know he's not with us, he's in the presence of the Lord, but I read about him. Great book, if ever you want to read it, called The Spiritual Secrets of Hudson Taylor. Who's ever read that? Hey, right. I was in hospital one time. I've been there a few times, but I was there this one time, took the book in, took me 230 pages to discover his secret, but it was worth reading to get there. Hudson Taylor used to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the morning to do what? To pray. The reason being, he knew he would not be disturbed. 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock made me think, how much sleep did he get? But he was so effective in God's work. If we want to be effective, I had a friend who used to challenge me to be God's man. And I guess I'd love to challenge each one of you tonight to be God's man or God's woman. And if you want to be that, we need to pray. And we need to spend time in his word. A friend of mine, his name is Alan Smith. He is with the Lord also. Now, none of you will probably even know Alan Smith. He was the groundsman at Teen Ranch I became a Christian at Teen Ranch at the age of 18. I turned 70 this October, just to put it out there. So it was a little while ago. I don't feel 70 yet, but I'm not there yet, am I? But this man, he would be up regularly at 3:30. Every day, 3:30 to pray. But when he came, and I used to come to talk to him, he was a groundsman at that place. And while he was working, I'd come and I'd say, "Al, how are you going?" And shake his hand. It was like he had a window into who I was. And I've got to tell you, it wasn't nice standing there sometimes. He'd say, "Brother, I've been reading the Word, and it said this." It was all talking about me. I'm thinking, whoa. But he also was a man of prayer. And I could ring Alan and say to him that back then I was working in high school ministry. And I could say, "Alan, I'm going to this high school. Would you pray for me?" And I used to know that man would pray for me. Not for 5 minutes. He would pray, "What time do you finish?" And I know he would be praying for me. Many people, I think, and I looked at statistics as well. I looked at a lot of stuff just to come here. But statistically, in America, they were in a lot of evangelical churches. You know how much they struggled to find to pray? 5 minutes. We live in a busy age, and people are so busy today, they don't have time to pray. 5 minutes was a very high rating in that statistic. And as I start to look at that, I then have to look at the Lord Jesus, and I look at the example that he left. And the example, one of the first things that springs to mind, if you have your Bibles open, if we can turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And this is where Jesus was going to select from the disciples, all the followers, and there were probably 120 or more, but he was going to select the 12 apostles. And what does it say? "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." Now, does anyone follow football here at all? Rugby league? No sporting people here at all? That's fine. You do. Good man. Okay, I'll use myself as a very poor example here then. I follow West Tigers in the rugby league. See, someone else does follow sport. We should have a little thing on being deceptive here. But you know, I can turn on the TV and sit down and watch the West Tigers for 2 hours. They play 40 minutes for the first half. They have a break for about, I don't know, 15 minutes. Then they come back on, another 40 minutes. I can easily do that. And if someone calls at my home and they pop in out of the blue, I can entertain them for a couple of hours. But you know, we can struggle to find time in prayer. I am going to do 2 other messages, by the way, and I believe I'm going to be invited up again because I've got dates. But we will look at other aspects of prayer. But this is looking at what causes us to pray and what leads us to pray. And one of the things is that we just seem to run out of time. We just don't make that time to pray. And even if we pray half an hour, you know, we just need to be in the presence of God. And I've got a list. I've got my wife and my 4 sons and my daughter-in-laws and my grandchildren and then other people I pray for. And wow, I can't do that in 5 minutes. I have to spend time. Now, I've already said I'm retired, but I used to get up before I went to work and give myself plenty of time that I could spend time in the Word and in prayer. And as we look at Jesus still, one of the things that he did was he would get up early in the morning, sometimes a long way before it was even light. And we find that in Mark 1:35. And it says this, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed." So the question is, why is it difficult to pray? And I believe it comes back to something that can be fairly hard-hitting, is how important is your relationship with God? How important is your relationship with God? Do you really care about your Christian experience? Do you really go and search the Word and look at His commands and follow them out? Or is the Bible to you like a buffet where I'll choose this, but I'm not going to worry about that? And that's not what the Bible is about. So it's a little hard-hitting for me too, okay? Is what is my relationship with God? Because if I don't spend much time talking to Him, one day I'm going to stand before Him in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and I'm going to stand before Him and be judged as to how I live my Christian life. And if I look back and God says, "Hey, you never spent much time talking to me over those 70 years," I'm going to be guilty, let alone anything else I can throw in. So it's how important is our relationship with God. How much importance then do we place in prayer? If we're too busy to pray, let me say, you're too busy. If you don't have time to pray, you're too busy. I also believe that when we start to look at our lives and ourselves as individuals, I keep walking this way, don't I? I should walk this way too. I get stuck into these people. You're all okay over there now. When I look at our lives as Christians, one of the things for me when I share the gospel with people, I say to them, you know what? I can work in the horse, yeah, work, that's right. Work in the horse stables for 6 months. I can feed the horses and clean the stables out, but just because I'm in the stable, I don't become a horse. Just because I come to church, that does not affect my maturity as a Christian. So what I'm going to say now is that we can be older in years, like me, older in years, but as a Christian, we can be immature. And we can be immature because we have a very shallow relationship with God. Maybe we don't read enough. Maybe we don't pray enough. But we can be immature as Christians. And I trust that's not the case for anyone that's here. But it is reality. So I know from the mountains, so I'm not going to be trying to be a clever preacher now, but if I look at the mountains, it's Sydney's that way, trains are up here, and if you work in Sydney, you have to get up early and go. So how important is it? I think it's that important that if you want to read the scriptures and you want to pray, then go to bed earlier and get up the next morning and an appropriate time to catch a train, but to spend time in the Word. Easy for me to say, isn't it? But I think it's that important that we should do that. So the one thing that I think I want to say to you is that we need to have, I believe, a place that we go to regularly to have our quiet time. And the Bible calls it, in the King James, a closet. And in our reading tonight, it said, into your room. And so, for me, fortunately, my wife and myself and my dog at home. And my dog often comes in and will wake me early anyway. But so when I get up, I have a spot which is a bench in my kitchen, and I sit down, and there I pray, and there I read the Word. But you know, one thing I've found is that maybe spend a little time in the praying, because it means you're going to spend so much time praying, you don't get time to read the Word sometimes. And so George Mueller found that what he should do was pray a little and then read the Word. Then he would pray after that and pray often back the things that he read in the Word. So we need to bear that in mind as well. So in our reading tonight, in Matthew 6 and verse 6, it says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So what is it then that keeps us from prayer? Is there anything that keeps us from prayer? And I believe it's a very simple answer, but to me it goes back to when prayer first commenced. So I think prayer first started when Adam walked in the Garden of Eden and talked to God. What a wonderful time that must have been. He just walked around and he named all the animals, and he did whatever God wanted him to do. There was no weeds in the Garden of Eden, so he didn't dig out weeds. But as he walked around, he talked to God. It was that Satan then came along and seduced Eve into saying that if you eat of the fruit, you all know the story, if you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you'll just be like God. Now, up until this point, Adam was dependent on God. He and God were like that, dependent, couldn't be separated from him, walk with him, talk with him. But then Eve ate of the fruit, whatever it was, gave it to Adam, and then the problem entered in for all of us, that sin entered into the situation, that would keep us from prayer, would keep us from the Word of God, would keep us from walking as we should as Christians and sharing the gospel with other people around us. And so sin is a part of the problem. See, one of the things that Satan wants to do is he wants you to be as busy as you can be. He wants us to be busy in church. Now, that's not being critical, because we just have to keep a balance. But he wants us to be busy as we can be, so that we don't have time to do what? To read the Bible and to pray. That's what Satan is all about. He wants to keep us from having fellowship with God. Prayer, I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, it's like an umbilical cord. It's our cord, it's our must to God. And so it's something that we regularly need to be doing. One of the things then that I believe affects us as well, it has to do with, in our relationship with God, how much he plays a part in our life. Now, your pastor mentioned about evangelism, so it's not in my notes, but I'm going to throw this in. When I get up and pray of a morning, often I'll pray that God would bring one person my way today that I could share the gospel with. And I have found that God can work in the first person. So in other words, I think I'm going to a place to do something because that's my idea, but sometimes I think it's God's, and he just gets me there. And so, quick story, in as much that I love gardening, and I went to Flower Power, they had a bit of a sale, bought some plants. Then I thought, you know what, I should go have a coffee. So they have a little coffee shop there, I go downstairs. And then I'm just sitting there, I'm on my own, watching. My wife had gone into the city, and I saw this young lady working there, sort of being a bit bossy and helping people and saying, "Hey, hurry up." When I went to the till, my wife said I said all the wrong things here, because I said to her, "I've been watching you." She said, "You shouldn't have said that." But I said, I've seen that you're really efficient and I'm wondering if you're the boss. And she said, yeah, I am. I'm the boss. So I said, okay, I've got something for you. And what have I got in my pocket? And I said, look, have you had one of these before? $1 million bill. I said, because when I go to sleep tonight, I've got no guarantee I'm going to wake up in the morning. So the question is, what comes next? So she gets this and starts to read the beginning, starts to read the end. I said, no, you don't do it that way. What do you mean? And I said, that's not what you do. You need to read what it's all about. And it's all about our relationship with God. And she said to me, did you target me? And I said, no. I said, that's a bit strong. Did I target you? I said, let me tell you what happened. This morning, I was in my kitchen and I met with God and I asked that he would lead me to one person today that I could share with. And I said, and you're that person. She said, how did you know that I had so many questions that I need to ask? How did you know that? I said, I didn't, did I? And I said, but God doesn't make mistakes. He had me here for a reason. She said, I have a child with disability. I've got questions. I have my father who's dying in a month, and I have a lot of questions. So I stood at the till as people came, and we talked some more. And so that was just an answer to prayer. But that's what we should do. It's a simple prayer. So it's slightly off the course here, but it's sort of on it. So there we go. All right. One of the things then that when we come into God's presence and to pray, I believe it's a difficult thing to clear our mind of all the distractions that we have. So I know someone that the very first thing that they think of when they wake up is, I wonder how many emails I've got. And I've got to answer those emails and all the distractions. And then you have things like this. So even an old guy has a phone like this. And we can have that phone and you go in and pay, you know, just go tap and away you go. But it's all these, we live in a technical age where all these things can be a distraction to us. And I'll be honest and say, I have my quiet time using an iPad, so there you go. But we need to be able to clear our mind. And the scripture, again, in Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. In the Greek, there's a, it's pronounced raw for, which for the word still. If you look at, the Latin imperative of that, it means to vacate. So it's to clear the decks. It is to let God be God. To not be in control yourself of what's happening, but to be still and let him be in control. And there's a scripture, I know I've asked this before, and I know some of you do this, so I'm not going to ask the question again, but there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 10:5, I think it is, that says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto obedience to Jesus. So as other thoughts come into your mind, you know what you can do? You say, Lord, I refuse all these other thoughts. I want to spend time in your presence. And I ask that you take my thoughts and bring them unto obedience to the Lord Jesus. And we can be still. And it's quite something just to sit, say, Lord, I just want to be in your presence and just to be still and to know that he is God, that he is in charge. Okay, I'll finish up on this. One of the things that I think happens quite regularly, and it's just something to think about, how many times do people say to you, look, this is happening, will you pray for me? Oh, sure. And I wonder how many times we really pray for those people. The commitments we make, I hesitate unless I know I'm going to pray. But let me simply say to you that if someone says, would you pray for this? or I'm going for a job interview, or my child is sick, or this is happening. And you say, yes, I will. Maybe pray for them right then, with them. Pray for them on the spot, because that way you're never going to forget. And then take a note of it. And on my phone, I've got a thing called, I think it's called Note. Yeah, it's just called Note. So in there, when I share the gospel with someone or I give them a tract or whatever, I pop it in. So I've got a whole list of people that I've been speaking with, and I can pray for them. The lady at Flower Power, her name is Lourdes. The other day I had lunch I had to put my car in for service at Gladesville, and I used to live near there, and used to go to Boronia Park Public School. So I thought I'd go for a walk around, went up to the shopping centre, sat down, and I was going to have my coffee, and then there was an old lady sitting at a table. Things catch my attention. So I walked over to her, and I said, have you lived in the area for a while? She said, oh, yes, I live in Hunters Hill. Ah, so I sat down. I came back. I said, do you mind if I sit with you? No, that's fine. So, I don't know, people then start to tell me stuff about their past and what's happening, and it just comes out. And then I got the $1 million out after a little while, not straight away. And she said, you know, I would really love to speak to you about all this, because I've lost people in my family, but I've got to go. And so I said, okay, but I also carry around from my church, they actually printed some special cards for me. So I have my name on a card, and I say, this is me, here's my church, here's my phone number, why don't you give me a ring? And so I pass that on. So we're going to finish. It's a topic we could go on for a while. But I want to challenge you to think about your life and your prayer and your relationship with God, that you are God's man or God's woman, and that you are desiring to be. In John 15 and verse 5, there's a little phrase in verse 5 that says, it's a real challenge to me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And you know what? That affects everything we do. Doesn't matter what it is, God wants to be a part of it. And we can pray. I will finish on this point. I have a shredder, and I had a friend that helped me strip this thing because I had to put the engine in. And there was wires from a key. And he goes, brink, brink, brink. And he didn't say, well, this one goes here. We'll put a patch on there, and this goes here. He just took them all up. I'm the most useless person as a handyman. But you know what I did? I picked this thing up, and I looked at it, and all the wires were sort of like this. And I said, Lord, I've got no idea where they go, but would you please help me? And I just thought where they might go, got the shredder, put the key to on, and went, boom, guess what? Started. And so the smallest thing God is interested in. But we need to be people who pray. And so next time I come up, I know the church will be full and overflowing. But we should be people who pray. And God will bless you if you do. You spend time with him, he will bless you for that. So I'm going to ask, actually I'm going to pray first, and then Wayne's going to come up, excuse me. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we could look at the subject of prayer. Lord, it is a real challenge, but Father God, how sweet it is to be in your presence and to be still and know that you are God. And to go into that place, that secret place, into that closet, that room, and to be with you on a daily basis. So, Father, I pray that you would bless each one that is here tonight, that maybe something from the message might be a challenge to us. So, Father, I pray these things now, in and through Jesus' name. Amen.